how your scapegoat.
What?
Because you're mostly confused all the time, so you're our scapegoat, basically. It's okay.
You know, in the science fiction movie Omrani, they try to make an alien, but they can't get the shape out of this world. They are stuck with these shapes. So they bring a shape of a human, but distorted, you know.
Maybe the arrival?
The foreign, the aliens, the these kind of creation. When you are designed...
Oh, you mean in general?
In general, oh. Yes. When you form them, you can't make forms out of this world. You have to imagine existence in this world. Otherwise, you can't imagine it. Do you know that jinn are just a body of energy? They don't have a shape. It's a body of energy. But we still, when we wanted to make angels, we made them bodies and wings and little girls.
Do angels have wings?
They have wings, but not the wings that you see. For example, angel Jibreel has 700 wings. And Allah, at the beginning of Surah Al-Ghafir, says He created the angels, two wings, three wings, and four wings. Yes.
So He actually had just like 700 wings, or is that just like a figure?
No. Okay. 700 in Arabic means infinity. Any time you use the number seven, it's like 70. You say, I've made istighfar for them 70 times. It means that you have made istighfar for them a lot of times. And when you say somebody has 700 wings, 700 wings, meaning he has a lot of wings.
So seven is just like a relative number?
Seven is like, refers to a very large number. If I say it has 600 wings, then I mean 600. If I say it has 800 wings, then I mean 800. But if I say 700 wings, it means it's a large number. Large number. Okay? That large enough, big enough, he has 700 wings. And every single wing, yes.
Wait, why is seven?
Because he flies in dimensions that you have no, that you're not aware of. He doesn't only exist in the first heaven. Angel Jibreel can go travel all the way above the seventh heaven, which is the throne of Allah. He can reach to the throne of Allah. Then there is a place called Sidrat al-Muntaha, which is the front end. The front end is the place where Jibreel, if he proceeded, then what is going to happen to him? Hasafa, what's going to happen to him if he proceeded after the front end? He would burn. Yeah. So when he was accompanying Prophet Muhammad, when did Angel Jibreel accompany Prophet Muhammad? In the Mi'raj. Isra was the night journey, Mi'raj was the heavenly journey. So when he reached to this level, he said to Prophet Muhammad, you proceed. If I proceed from this point, if I proceed, then I would burn. Because that's my limit. I can't take any more light than that. And then Prophet Muhammad went, and then when he was asked, did you see Allah? He said, how can I see him? I had light surrounding me from all directions. How could I see him? I can, because he has light all over. And I couldn't see him. But he was able to communicate with him, but he could not see Allah. Allah, you know Allah's wearing hijab? What's the purpose of this hijab?
His light is so bright that if he doesn't wear that hijab, then everything will burn.
Exactly. Everything will burn. The hadith, there are two hadith. I don't know which one is true. Maybe both. The hadith says Allah wears, look, Safa, Allah wears 70,000 hijab. Again, number seven. Allah is wearing 70,000 hijab, which is a large number. And Allah, the other one says Allah is wearing one hijab. So one hijab or 700,000 hijab. I believe in the 7,000 hijab because they are one hijab. I don't think one hijab is enough. One hijab is enough to protect us from the light of Allah, to protect us from burning. I don't think it's enough. Okay. So I don't think they are enough. But what I'm trying to... Yes?
What if it's one hijab with 70,000 and 700,000 layers? Like, it's one total hijab.
Good. That's a way, that's a good way of connecting both hadith. That this hijab is 70,000 layers. And other hadith say 70,000 curtains. 70,000 curtains. Okay? Nobody can see Allah without a curtain. Nobody is. Even when we Allah let make us allow us to see His face in the day of judgment. Okay? For a Jew, you know, that's the best pleasure is to look at the face of Allah. There is no more pleasure than this. I don't think Allah will give us His face to see without any veils. Because we will burn. We can't take it. It's just simply the light of Allah is cannot be seen like this. You have to have some kind of barrier to be able to see the light of Allah. To be able to see Allah. Some look at the fashion making. Oh, sorry, the form making. Look at these snakes. Look at reptiles. Look at... Allah says, I've created animals that just crawl. And I've created animals that have two legs. I've created animals that have four legs. I've created animals of all kinds, all shapes. You imagine... And you know that there are animals and fish that we don't know the shape of? You know that the fish that lives deep in the oceans? You know in the oceans, could we go all the way to the bottom? We couldn't. The pressure, water pressure, is going to crumble. It's going to squish the... Yes. And then how deep they could go?
It depends how deep.
How strong is the submarine? Because the submarine, because of the water pressure, submarine could be crushed like that.
Yeah, but then it depends where you're at. Like if you're in like the middle of the ocean, then it's real deep. But if you're like more inside,
we couldn't go deeper than like few kilometers, let's say, or few miles. Could we go 1 mile? Did we make it to 1 mile?
I think we're pretty far down.
I went on a submarine once. We went 200 miles or kilometers. I don't know which.
Okay, but at one point, all what you have gone is nothing compared to what you don't know. There is a deep sea. There is a deep ocean creation down there. We have no idea how it looks like. Absolutely no idea. Nobody have been there. Nobody have been there at all. And do you know that under this sea, in the very bottom, we have volcanoes? We have volcanoes rupturing, and this is why Allah said in the Quran, "Wal-bahr al-masjur," the sea founded on fire. At the time of Prophet Muhammad, people would say, "Al-bahr al-masjur," how could be an ocean with fire, founded on fire, or you know, built on fire? How could this happen? But we now know that there are volcanoes on the bottom, and that's how the fire comes. So, subhanAllah, this is among the scientific miracles that you can add to the list, is that Allah said in Surah At-Tur, وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ, the sea or the ocean that's built on fire, here we go. We have discovered that lately, but at the time of Prophet Muhammad.
And something really cool is they discovered another Hawaiian island is beginning to rise up, but it's going to take about 1,000 or so years.
We can wait. I don't think we have 1,000. Years with to the day of judgment. I don't think Allah knows best, but I don't think, because the Prophet Muhammad was from the signs of the day of judgment, and we have been already 1400 years from the life of Prophet Muhammad.
And a lot of the signs are coming true.
And a lot of the minor signs are coming. So the question is, how long? I mean, I believe from the bottom of my heart that it's never going to exceed 1,000 years. Just it will never exceed 1,000 years. And Allah knows better, of course. But I can't imagine that it's going to be more than that. Okay. There is another name called Al-Khallaq. They are all coming from the same verb, which is Al-Khallaq. 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 Those two different, Al-Khaliq and Al-Khallaq. Al-Khallaq means the one who continuously creates. The one who continuously creates. A super creator. He keeps creating and creating and creating and creating and does not stop creating. You know, the name, the creator, is not, is the nature of Allah, not an action. You know that? The action is to create, to fashion, to build. But the actual name creator, that's the nature of Allah. This is who he is. It's not something that he does. This is his nature. It's like saying, versus, it's like saying, what's your name again?
Himika,
yes. It's like saying, what one did I say? Okay. What was I saying?
Well, he was saying about how it's his nature to
yes,
create.
Thank you. His nature is to create. So Himika, for example, I say, she writes. So is that her nature? Or is it something that she does? But if I say she's a girl, is this her nature or something he does is nature? So the nature of Allah, if I say Maham needs to cover her hair with hijab, is that a nature or action?
Action.
But if I say she is a smart girl, is that a
nature?
Good. So the name, the creator, is the nature of Allah. You're not doodling.
No, it's okay. I got it.
Okay. It's the creation of Allah. Did Allah start creating? Did Allah start creating?
Yeah.
How? It's his nature to create. You know? So, it's his creator, his creation started, okay, at negative infinity. So, as the negative infinity, Allah exists from before the negative infinity to after the positive infinity. So if this is negative infinity, Umrah, and this is positive infinity, okay? Allah is before the negative infinity and after the positive infinity. And the creation of Allah is from before negative infinity to after negative positive infinity. You understand? So as Allah existed at all times, his creation existed at all times. In other words, Allah never stops creation. And he never started creations because he has been creating since he exists. And he exists since negative infinity, so he created starting from negative infinity.
What will Allah create after the day of judgment?
Oh, a lot of creation. Jannah. Okay, humans that go to Jannah, hellfire, humans that go to hellfire. There is another thing, is that you know that there are two blowing in the trumpet, right? Yes, Israfil. The first to blow happens to end life on earth. And then end life in the entire universe. Life in the entire universe would be completely destroyed. And then the second, everything would wake up. So what is the time span between the first, and the second, what's the time span? Do you imagine an angel making like this? Everything will turn into ashes. You know, an angel has so much power that will what? Yeah, everything will turn into nothing, you know. And then another blow we came up. Do you know how long between? The Prophet ﷺ said? No. The Prophet said 40. So they asked him 40 years, 40 centuries. He said 40. 40 what? He said 40. What is that 40? He left it open. Because maybe it's beyond our comprehension. Or maybe because something. Maybe there will be another 40 creations, something like that. But during that time, our souls will be awake or sleep.
Asleep.
So your soul is not going to go to sleep until the trumpet. And then you all souls will go to sleep. All souls will go to sleep. Even the angel soul will go to sleep. All angels. And then after 40, Allah will raise, give life to the first one is the angel of Israfil. Then he, then everybody wakes up. You got it? So 40, what? Allah knows better. And there is a hadith about the creation of Allah. You know, the first thing Allah created? The first thing Allah created was the pen. Something called pen. Divine pen. Divine pen. What is that divine pen? Allah said, I mean the Prophet said, the first thing that Allah created is the divine pen. Then he told the pen, write. And the pen wrote everything that will happen until the day of judgment. Everything. Future, past, everything. To, and it was so accurate to the level of that if a small leaf is falling from a small tree in the middle of the jungle, or if it is falling, the pen wrote it already. So the pen, Allah created the divine pen to write everything. That's the first thing Allah created. Okay? Now, the name Al-Khallaq Al-Alim. The name Al-Khallaq Al-Alim. Or two names, Al-Khallaq Al-Alim. At the end of Surah Yasin, there is a guy who came to Prophet Muhammad. You know, the Arabs did not believe in the Day of Judgment, did they? Right, Hemika? Did they believe in the Day of Judgment? Surah Yasin. So there was this guy who wants to make fun of the Prophet. So he picked up a dead piece of bone, Sudab, a dead piece of bone. And then he crushed it into his hand, into dust. And then he flew away. And he's, a guy, a pagan guy. So and he said, Muhammad, can your God bring this bone back alive? So the response didn't come from Prophet Muhammad. The response came from Allah. Allah, the response was, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا. He gave us an example. And he forgot his own creation. He said, who's going to bring this bone alive? Tell him, the one who made it alive the first time will bring it again to be alive. It's like common sense. Don't you see that I've created things for the first time? Now, which is easier, first or second? First. I'm sorry, second is easier, right? Second. Second is easier. Like, I have shown you I've created it the first time. So, why would it be hard to create it again if I've done it once already? And then he said, usually the second time is better, is easier than the first time. But to Allah, the creation, by the way, doesn't take any effort. The creation of Allah, Maryam, Hana. The creation of Allah, you Maryam, right? Yeah. The creation of Allah, okay, doesn't take effort. Does Allah need to really make and fashion and, you know, put Adam from clay and then he, you know? No, Allah doesn't need to do that. He said at the end of Surah Yasin that if he wants to create, he will just say kun, which is exist. And it will exist. So all what Allah does will order the pen to create, to write. You know what is the writing? The writing, every page, let's say every page of the book is like a century. And every line is like a year, something like that. And every word is a human being. Allah called Isa a word. Allah called Yahya a word. World. I'm sorry, not world. Just one word. One word. Word. Just one word. You are a word. I am a word. I am a word in the book of Allah. You are a word in the book of Allah. So, one of you might say, okay, if the pen wrote everything, then what's the point? What's the point of life?
The point is to get into
it. Is to what?
You don't know what the pen wrote. What the pen wrote.
Exactly. So you make the choices, right? The pen wrote what you will do. Okay. However, who's the responsible of doing it? The pen or you?
Us.
Can I say the pen? Darn it, the pen. Darn it, it's the pen road that I have to steal. Umar ibn al-Khattab said something like, darn it, and the pen road that I've cut your hand. He said, he was a criminal, so he said, Allah willed, or the pen wrote, that I will cut, that I steal. He said, and Allah wrote also that I cut your hand. So both of them, so he made him taste from the same cup, yes.
Like, when people say God wills it, is that correct to say that? Because you don't know what God wills, right?
If it happened.
Like maybe
if something happened in the past, then no question, Allah will do it.
Yeah, but like, if it's like happening in the present and they're...
You can't say Allah will it.
Say they're about to kill someone and they say God wills it, that's not right. Right?
Yeah.
You don't know what Allah wills.
Exactly. Not only that, but you are responsible for it. Okay? So the pen wrote that you are responsible, that you will be responsible. So everything, good and bad, comes from where? Allah. But who's responsible for the bad?
Us.
Allah is not responsible for bad things. We are the responsible ones. Now, how did Allah write it? Yeah, Maham. How did Allah write it? If it's our responsibility, we're responsible of the wrong things, then how come Allah wrote it first? How could we be responsible if He already decreed that we will steal or do something evil? We made the decision, and we are responsible for it.
I think Allah wrote the outcome, but let us do what we must to get the outcome. We can get $100 at the end of the day. You steal $100, you start off with $200 and lose $100, or did you earn $100? I guess it's like that.
Also, remember the example that I gave you before? Just like, Maham, do you remember the example? Let's say, do cows fly on their own? If I ask you this question, what would be your answer?
Would be no.
Would be no, right? Mm-hmm. How did I know that? Did I force you to say no?
No.
Then how did I know that you're going to say no?
Because it's common sense.
Because I know you, you're smart, not 4 years old. You know, if we ask even Sarah, right?
Yeah.
If we ask Sarah, do cows fly on their own? Would she say yes?
No.
She wouldn't eat. She's 5 years old. Oh, no, she's not. She's about, what, eight, 7 years old. If I bring 4 years old to ask him or ask her, do cows fly? They would say, no. How do I know that he's going to say no? Sudaba, how do I know? Because I know the question, I know the guy, I know the person, then I can tell. So whatever Allah wrote is based on his knowledge, but he's not responsible of it. Allah wrote it, but He's not responsible of it. Okay? So, it happened because of the will of Allah. Do you remember when you say, when we said Allah has to will everything, Allah guides whomsoever He wills and misguides whomsoever He wills?
Yeah.
Did we prove before that this is a common sense statement?
Mm-hmm.
Because we said, what's the opposite? What's the opposite of Allah? Allah wills what He wants. I'm sorry. Allah wills the guidance. Nobody's guiding without the will of Allah. Nobody is misguided without the will of Allah.
Yeah.
What's the opposite? People are guided and misguided whether Allah wills it or not. Does that make any sense?
Allah either guides you or misguides.
Exactly. So you can't say, this is a very low image of Allah to say that Allah misguides people, even Allah, people are misguided even Allah if Allah doesn't want, and people are guided even though if Allah wants. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the opposite of the statement is true, which is Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever He wants. Because the opposite is that Allah guides people and misguides people whether He likes or not, whether He wills or not. Okay? So now the word khalaqa and khaliq, the word khaliq means the creator, have happened in the Quran 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, 7 times in the Quran. But the verb of, says Allah khalaqa, X, Allah khalaqa Y, Allah khalaqa Z, Allah khalaqa Earth, Allah khalaqa Moon, Allah khalaqa. Okay? Then, how many times this happened in the Quran? It happened 80 times. 80 times Allah saying, I've created this, I've created that, I've created heaven. And Allah saying, all these creations are intended to serve you. I've created a lot of things just to serve you and to make your life possible and to give you the room and the chance to live. Then, could be anybody, could be any other creator other than Allah? No. So, what's the difference between a human creator and Allah?
Allah can make something out of nothing.
Out of nothing, exactly. And he doesn't need a prototype, he doesn't need trial and error, maham. He doesn't need all of these things. There is another name which Allah called himself, Ahsanul Khaliqeen. So, Ahsanul Khaliqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do you compare creators, the creators, to Ahsanul Khaliqeen, which is the best creator? Why? Because humans can be called creator. So Allah, Ahsanul Khaliqeen, the best creator. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he creates what he wishes. Yes?
I saw this picture once and it was all like, it was like some hair from the Prophet, but is that like real? Because that would mean like, I don't know.
You saw that when?
I just saw that picture. It was like this picture. It was like a log of Prophet's hair.
Where did you see that? In the museum?
No, it was just like a picture.
Oh, a picture? Where was it taken? What is that thing?
I don't know. It just said that, and then like there were like imams and stuff standing there.
I don't know about that. There's no way we can tell it's real or not. But I don't think it's real.
Because that would mean like,
should have disintegrated.
Yes,
but she's not part of the body. She's detached from the body. She's like on its own now. The hair, yes.
Oh, so it has to stay with the body. If it's not with the body, then it'll disintegrate.
Yes, I would think so. Because the body is the one who provides protection to it. Okay, so Allah in the Quran talks about that he created whomsoever he wants. He gave people boys and only boys. He gave others girls and only girls. Or he can mix and give other boys and girls. Or he can make them not able to get boys or girls, which is called da'aqim in Arabic. I don't know what's that in English.
Barren.
Huh?
Barren.
Huh?
Barren.
What is it called?
Is it called barren? Like,
bearing? The ones who can't give the children.
They're barren, like B-A-R-R-E-N.
Bearing, yeah. Yes. So the ones who can't give the children. Allah is the one who decides.
Right, because back in the old days they didn't know about it, so they called women barren, but like they thought the men are the ones who gave life through the women. So if the women couldn't have kids, they called her barren because for some reason she didn't have the equipment needed to house a child. But the scientific term is infertile, which means that
infertile, that's what I meant, infertile. Now tell me, how come Allah discriminates like that? How come Allah gives Maham, okay, so much money, and He gives Hemika so much talent, and He gives every one of us different. We're not equal. You need to understand this. As far as provisions from Allah, Allah does not. It's not equal.
It's all a test.
Exactly, it is a test. The difference Allah created us different. It is a test. Now, you say, how come evil exists in this world? Because if there's no evil, there's no good. Right? In order to have good, you need to have evil. In order to pay charity, you need to have a poor person. Okay? Or a need, person who's needy. Okay? You see what I'm saying? So, the good is created because of the bad. Or the good exists because of the bad. If you don't have bad, then there's going to be no good. And this life is not going to be a test anymore. Okay? All right. Inshallah, I'll see you next week. Is he your full?
I need you. It's a you.
No, stop wasting time.
Is he your half brother or full brother?
Full brother, full annoying.
Don't annoy each other, really. Let me take whatever remains anyway. Thank you.